Hey guys, it's Duncan Welker here from the Body Slam Radio. So before we get started with the show this week, I just want to say something to all the talent, the management staff, the Kohoffs, basically anyone who's involved at Rocket City Championship Wrestling. I just want to say thank you. And here's why I'm saying thank you. Because you guys put on such an amazing show every first and third week of the month. You know, when I first went to Rocket City Championship Wrestling in May of 2017, I was just, you know, amazed at the fact that there was a local independent show, you know, just a couple of minutes away from me, and that it could be one of the best. And, you know, this is when you guys were first starting out. But I think over the years, like over the past like 2 years that you guys have been in business, you guys have evolved from just, North Alabama's best kept secret to one of the best independents in the Southeast, in my opinion. But that's just me, of course. So, again, I'd like to thank all the talent, the management staff, the Kohoffs, Dave Milliken, Kenneth Hopkins from Indie Views with Ken, basically just anyone who's involved with Rocket City Championship Wrestling. Again, I'd like to say thank you for doing what you do, and enjoy the show this week. And welcome, everybody, to the Future of Professional Wrestling Podcasting, the Body Slam Radio. Of course, my name is Duncan Welker. I am your host. And this week on the Body Slam Radio, we're going to be taking a look at RCCW Conflict. Now, what is RCCW, you may ask yourself? Well, RCCW stands for Rocket City Championship Wrestling. They are an independent wrestling promotion located in Hazel Green, Alabama. They run shows at the RCCW Arena the first and third week of each month. Personally, I recommend anyone who is in the North Alabama, South Tennessee area should go check it out. It's one of the better shows of the South, the North Alabama region. See, the thing about the Alabama independents is there's not a lot of them left. You know, and to be honest, I mean, there wasn't that many to begin with, or at least from what I've heard, there wasn't that many to begin with. You know, some Memphis Tories would come and do, like, an Alabama show. And, yeah, there was one Alabama-specific territory, but once Vince and company bought all that up, just kind of floated away. But, nonetheless, I want to say something quick before we move on with the show. One big thing I've learned about while being a wrestling fan is that you have to support your local independent company. Even if it's like an hour and a half away, try to make it to one show like a month if they run multiple shows, because you will not regret it. I mean, yeah, WWE, Impact, and all those other major companies, they run great shows. I'm not discouraging any wrestling promotion at all. But I gotta say, going to an independent wrestling show, you'll learn more about wrestling than you ever will if you go to a major promotion live show or house show. But, what I mean by that is, you know, one of the biggest things for me is the fans. At a WWE show, you know, it's kind of a family-based thing. And it's the same thing with independents, but they're nicer. They're not just like, get out of my face. They're like, oh, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? How's the wife and kids? You know, hey, how's that shirt? You know, all that kind of, like, that kind of thing. It seems to me like at an independent wrestling show, you find more genuine people. They're just there to go out, have some fun, watch some wrestling, and, you know, stuff like that. So, another thing I'd like to mention, and this is kind of a deal breaker for me, at most independent shows, the concessions are usually inexpensive. I mean, at Rocket City Championship Wrestling, I think the most expensive thing there is like a cheeseburger is like $3. I mean, and really that's just with any independent. Like they want you to pay attention to the wrestling, and the food is an afterthought, basically. personally, if you go to Rocket City Championship Wrestling, I recommend the pretzel with cheese, but that's just me. And the final thing, and the final reason you have to support your local indies, you never know who will show up, and you never know where the talent will go. I mean, at this show I'm reviewing alone, there were two surprise returns. I'm not going to spoil them yet, but and you never know who's going to show up. I mean, at Rocket City this year alone, there's been a lot of, you know, former, you know, big name brand talents and people there. I mean, a couple of months ago, Conrad Thompson and Tony Schiavone, yes, Tony Schiavone, WCW announcer, showed up there, and I wasn't at that show because I had some things to do that night, but I saw it on Facebook and was like, man, the independents are really cool. But that, in my opinion, is why you have to support your local indies. You know, if you want me, and I'm going to recap them. Here's a couple of reasons why you got to support your local indies. One, the fans there are just genuine, human, nice human beings. Sorry. The second reason, concessions are usually inexpensive and cheap. Same with tickets, most of the time. The wrestling there, the wrestling is top tier talent. I forgot to add this. Should have added this. But you know, when you go to a WWE show, it's just the same, you know, good guy, bad guy kind of thing. And it's that with wrestling, but at an independent show, it seems like they put their heart and soul on the line any time they step into the ring. Like, it's not just, oh, another day on the job. If you haven't noticed, independent wrestling doesn't pay that well. These guys are fighting for a chance to live out, actually, no, these guys are fighting to live out their dream, and they're doing that. And I gotta say, this past Saturday night, when I went to Rocket City Championship Wrestling, my home independent promotion, I was amazed about, you know, not only the wrestling, but some of the memories I created there. So, with that in mind, let's take a look at Rocket City Championship Wrestling Conflict from this past Saturday night. First match of the night was a fatal four-way between Austin Towers, Jamie Richards, Aaron Black, that's E-H-R-E-N Black, and Scott Morgan. I'm familiar with Towers, Richards, and Black, but I'm not familiar with Scott Morgan's work. But, from what I saw, he's a pretty good wrestler. But nonetheless, Towers and Black are the former West Coast Kings. They broke up at the Rocket City Rumble. And they've kind of had this feud going ever since then. So with that in mind, let's take a look at this Fatal 4-Way match. So before the match even gets started, Black calls out Richards and Morgan and say they both look like Bradley King. I mean, Mr. Clean. Anyways, opening moments of the match, Towers and Black with a swift pair of punches to both Richards and Morgan. You know, even though they broke up, they seemed to do a lot of moves that kind of, you know, makes them a tag team still somewhat. But nonetheless, Richards, and a little later on here, comes off the ropes, knocking both Black and Towers down to the mat. Black and Towers with brutal chops to Scott Morgan. Basically, they went up to each other. So Towers was like, woo, chop. I can do better. And then Black's like, I can do better. Woo, chop. And so on. But nonetheless, Richards and Morgan get on the offensive. They both had double axe handles off the second rope to Black and Towers. Yeah, Black and Towers, sorry. Black set Towers into the entranceway. Now keep in mind, it's like a black, I don't know how to describe it, but it's basically, it's not a ramp. Like, the RCCW arena is basically, I wouldn't call it a garden shed, but it's kind of an expanded garden shed, so there's not much room to work with. But they make it work somehow, so I applaud them on that. So, after Black sent Towers into the entranceway, Black's valet then chopped him Ric Flair style. So, beautiful stuff there. But later on here, Black Aaron Black, and you're going to have to excuse my Generation Z termage here, Aaron Black then yeeted Richards into a pile of chairs into the fans, and Richards, as a result of that, is busted open. Anyways, moving on here, Black goes for the cover onto Morgan, but Morgan does kick out, and Towers hits an offensive maneuver, goes for the cover on Black, but Black does kick out at two. Black then DDTs Towers, and then a little later on here, Black DDTs Towers, goes for the cover, but kicks out. A little later on here, Morgan goes for the cover onto Towers. Towers kicks out. Morgan hits an amazing superplex. Then Richards follows that up with a frog splash, or maybe it was a lowdown. I've never understood the difference between a frog splash and a lowdown. You know, a lowdown was the move that, you know, D'Lo Brown used. It looked like a frog splash in some ways, but it wasn't a frog splash. So, but nonetheless, he hit it, and it looked really cool. But nonetheless, Black with a codebreaker to Towers out of nowhere. Richards then hits a Death Valley driver onto Towers, I believe. And Towers hits a bicycle kick onto Richards, goes for the cover. Black breaks it up. Then he dumps Towers to the outside. And then Towers throws Black into that same pile of chairs that Richards was thrown into. Black gets back up, and Towers hits him with a Diet Coke can. That's the one thing about the independents I will always love. And I was sitting next to the ring announcer, and I'm just like, did he just hit him with a Diet Coke can? good stuff. But, and then they fought, like, literally into the outside, like, onto, like, the outside of the arena. It was a fatal four-way, so no disqualification match, so it was legal, necessarily. So that just left Richards and Morgan. In the closing moment of this match, Morgan locks in a crossface on Richards, and Richards gives up. Your winner by submission here, folks, is Scott Morgan. You know, I gotta say, like I said early on, I wasn't familiar with Scott Morgan's work, but I think after seeing this match, I was really familiar with it. Like, I became kind of a Scott Morgan fan. And if he's listening out there somewhere, I applaud you on your work. So, after the match, Richards and Morgan embraced in a handshake. And personally, I like this match. Now, I'm not going to review it in the traditional sense. Like, I reviewed No Way Out and Barely Legal 97. But, I guess if I had to rank it, it'd be a 3-star. It was a good match. You know, Black and Towers were continuing their rivalry in the most hardcore way. So, it's a good match. Now, the next match on the card was the Superstars, Big T and Steve Pleasing, taking on the team of the FBI, the Full-Blooded Italians. So, we'll see how that plays out. So, in the opening moments of the match, Big T and BJ are the starting two competitors from each team. BJ, Brandon James, takes Big T down to the mat with a lariat after Big T bounced off the ropes, then follows it up with a hip toss that looked pretty slick. I'm not gonna lie. Then a little later on here in the match, Big T gets BJ in the corner. BJ then counters it with a drop kick, goes for the cover, but Big T does, sorry, no, he forces the rope break. Sorry, I wrote down he kicked out, but then I rewatched the footage. And he forced a rope break. So, nonetheless, after that, BJ then hits, or sorry, no, he starts wrenching the neck of Big T, but again, Big T does force a rope break, because it counts as a submission. But, nonetheless, moving on here, BJ and Bugs O'Malley, the team of the FBI, hit a double team maneuver they hit the double team maneuver onto Big T. Bugs goes for the, actually, no, they both go for the cover. But Steve Pleasing does break it up. Well, and then once again, BJ and Bugs hit a double team maneuver in which they just hit a pair of elbows.
then an assisted leg drop by Bugs. And sorry, this is when they both went for the cover. The first one, the first double team maneuver they hit, only Bugs went for the cover, but Steve pleading broke it up. This time, pair of elbows and assisted leg drop. They both go for the cover, both Bugs and Brandon James, but Big T does kick out. Then a little later on here in the match, Big T gets on the offensive by raking the eyes of Brandon James. And from what I saw, raking, and from what I've seen as a wrestling fan, raking the eyes, like, it's not the most effective maneuver, but it's very, you know, I wouldn't say cautious, but it's very helpful in a tag team match, you know, to get your team back on the offensive. But nonetheless, a little later on here, Brandon James gets back on the offensive with a hammerlock belly-to-belly overhead suplex. That was really cool to see. To Steve Pleading, he goes for the cover, but not only does Steve, but not only does, and this is just a nickname I've came up with, Big Stevie P kick out, but Bradley Kane pulls the ref's foot, so I don't know what one which happened first. So for the purpose of this, I'm just going to say they both happened at the same time. So nonetheless, the Superstars hit a double team maneuver on Bugs in which Big T Irish whip Bugs into the corner, and Steve Pleasing has his boot up, and Bugs O'Malley goes face first into the boot. So, and then Superstars once again hit a double team maneuver on Bugs, in which this time Steve kicks him in the gut, and then they both push him down to the mat. So, not the most effective double team maneuver I've seen from those two, but it's a good one nonetheless. Then a little on here, Bugs hits an amazing DDT and hot tag. And, yeah. So, in the closing moment of this match, Bradley Kane, their manager, distracts the ref to help Big T grab Bradley's surgical boot and help, and basically he's helping Big T hit BJ, Brandon James, with it. He goes for the cover and he wins the match for the Superstars. The Superstars win this match. And, I gotta say, you know, when I was watching this match, granted I had a pretzel in my hand and, which, like I said earlier, I recommend the pretzels from there. I was watching it, and I said to myself, you know, this is a really good match. I liked it. I'm not going to review it, essentially, like I reviewed the first match. But, I mean, I guess if I had to rank it, rather not review it, I meant rank it, I'd rank it a 3.5 stars match. It was a really good match. So after the match, Bradley gets on the mic, hypes up the Superstars, and then a familiar tune fills up the RCCW arena, and out of nowhere, the Lost Souls, Problem Child and Chaos, and that's Chaos with a K, returned to Rocket City Championship Wrestling to attack the Superstars, and as a result of that attack, the Superstars will face the Lost Souls. Like I said, their next show is June 15th. Get your tickets now by calling Cosmos Fitness, I believe. Nonetheless, I loved it. It was a good match, good way to set up their next match on June 15th. Now, our next match on the card here is Cassandra Golden taking on Fantasy. This is a ladies division match. Fantasy is, of course, accompanied to the ring by Dr. Trey Franklin. So, early on here in the match, Cassandra Golden hits a barrage of chops to Fantasy. And one thing you'll notice throughout this show is that there was a barrage of just knife edge chops to the chest. There were so many woos in there. It sounded like a meeting of Ric Flair's. It sounded like a meeting of Ric Flair's ex-lovers. I know I probably used that joke, but nonetheless, moving on. Fantasy with a legs of submission. Cassandra does get out of it and pins Fantasy to the mat, but Fantasy does kick out. Then Cassandra Golden with a vertical suplex goes for the cover, but Fantasy does kick out. Then a little later on here, Fantasy rolls up Cassandra Golden for the cover, but Cassandra does kick out. Then Fantasy wraps her legs around Cassandra Golden, essentially a leg scissor submission, but instead just drops her face in the mat repeatedly, and after that goes for the cover, but Cassandra does kick out. Cassandra hits a bone-jarring spinebuster, goes for the cover, but Fantasy does kick out. And in the closing moments of this match here, Cassandra Golden looks to hit a Vader bomb
off the Snicker rope, but Fantasy gets her feet up in time to stop the maneuver, then rolls Cassandra Golden up, and of course with some assistance from Dr. Trey Franklin, to win the match. And this is kind of a brewing rivalry in Rocket City Championship Wrestling, Cassandra Golden and Fantasy, you know, and on the next show, June 15th, they're going to have a rematch. So I really liked this match. It was a good, you know, showing for the women. I think it was really well executed by both ladies. And Cassandra Golden has really impressed me, you know. I've seen some of her work before, you know, on YouTube and stuff. But, you know, I feel like the women's independent wrestling is kind of hard to come by. But that's just me. So, a good match. I liked it. And that's really all there is to say about it. Our next match on the card here is friend of the show, Lutha X, taking on Scrap Iron Lewis. Now, keep in mind, these two are graduates of the Rocket City Dojo, their Rocket City's training academy. And to be honest, going into this match, I really liked Scrap Iron Lewis's chances. Now, keep in mind, Lutha X is accompanied to the ring by Dr. Trey Franklin, who we just saw a few minutes ago in the Cassandra Golden Fantasy match. So, it seems like he's kind of used a lot on the show, but I guess that's what happens. So, nonetheless, early on here, Scrap Iron Lewis hits a barrage of offensive moves. He looks really impressive against the bigger Lutha X, in my opinion, when he does those. Then later on, Scrap Iron Lewis goes for the cover, but Lutha does kick out. Lutha gets on the offensive, gets him into the corner, stomping at his he stomps out of him, and then when the ref's back is turned, Dr. Trey Franklin chokes Scrap Iron with his cane. And then a little later on, he repeats the same action, getting Scrap Iron loose into the corner. Dr. Trey Franklin chokes him out as the ref's back is turned. So, nonetheless, a little later on here, Lutha is just going after the leg of Scrap Iron Lewis. I think that's kind of the weak point for Scrap Iron Lewis here. You know, he's repeatedly stomping at it, and he jammed it into the ring post. But, it seemed like that was a weak point of Scrap Iron Lewis there, and Lutha X took advantage of that really well. So, nonetheless, moving on, a little later on here in the match, Scrap Iron Lewis gets back on the offensive with a barrage of chops. Then Lutha gets back on the defensive, sending Scrap Iron Lewis on the defensive. Hits the maneuver. Lutha goes for the cover, but Scrap does kick out. And Scrap hits a few clotheslines a little later on in the match. And then a little later on here, a chop fest ensues, where, you know, one guy chops, then the other guy chops. And then to end that madness, a double clothesline sent both men down to the mat, but Scrap Iron hits a few more lariats. Then an STO attempts the cover, but Dr. Trey Franklin does stop it. And in the closing moments of this match here, Dr. Trey distracts the ref so that way Lutha can grab a chair, and Lutha nails him in the back. Yeah, in the back of his, back, with the chair, effectively meaning Scrap Iron Lewis wins by disqualification. It's a good match. I think these two guys, especially Lutha X, considering I know him very well, I really like these two showings, this showing of a match. I really liked it. I think it was one of, you know, Lutha's better matches, but you know, that's just me. So, after the match here, Lutha is repeatedly nailing Scrap Iron Lewis. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a minute. Lutha is just nailing Scrap Iron Lewis with a chair. He hits the curb stomp on him, and he sets the chair up in his neck, effectively looking to break Scrap Iron Lewis's neck with the curb stomp. But Barry Kohlhoff, the promoter of Rocket City Championship Wrestling, gets in just on the mic, tells Lutha to stop, and he does, and as a result of that, Lutha X has been suspended indefinitely from Rocket City Championship Wrestling. We'll see how that factors into the next couple of shows. But, Barry kind of saved the day there, and I've heard of his stuff you know, on the indie. He was a former independent wrestler. And I think the storyline could lead to Koloff getting back in the ring and possibly wrestling with the butt. That's just me, of course. I'd like to see that. So like I said, it was a good match. Very, you know, one-up each other because they're both former graduates of the Rocket City Dojo. And that's really all there is to say about that match. Next match we got here is for the Southern Heavyweight Crown as Travis Lodge of the Kane Empire takes on Charles Zanders, the Southern Heavyweight Champion. When Locke made his entrance, he had the Southern Heavyweight belt, but I believe he stole it from Zanders. You know, I haven't been to many Rocket City shows because, let's be honest, a 16-year-old with no job, it's kind of hard to, you know, make some money. But nonetheless, the match starts off with Zanders and Locke going right at each other, one another. This is an intense rivalry, and this match is going to be good. So strap in, ladies and gentlemen. So Xander's a little later on here in the match, hits a nice springboard maneuver onto Travis Locke. Then Xander looks to fly again, but Locke hits him with a solid punch to the jaw, and then he gets tangled up in the ropes as a result. Then a little later on here, Xander flies off the apron with a nice cannonball dive. That, like it looked really cool. And like I said, the RCCW arena is a very small place. It's hard to do flying maneuvers, especially in that building. But he makes it work. So, anyways, Locke then hits a standing vertical delayed suplex off the ropes. Like, he bounces Xander's body off the ropes, goes for the cover, but Xander's does kick out. And then Locke, realizing the situation, he goes for the cover once again, but Xander's kicks out. Then, a little later on here, Xander's goes charging at Locke. Like, he kips up, goes charging at Locke. The Locke hits a devastating lariat that turns him inside out. That looked brutal, ladies and gentlemen. But, nonetheless, moving on. Locke hits Xander with a backstabber. His finisher goes for the cover, but Xander's forces a rope break. Then Locke lifts up Xander's out of a triangle hold and hits him with a devastating bone-jarring powerbomb. Locke then hits a backstabber again, but this time off the turnbuckles. Xander's is, you know, tangled up in the turnbuckles. And Locke hits the backstabber, goes for the cover, but Xander does kick out right in time. Now, in the closing moments of this match, Xander does hit Locke with an STO 2 pin and win the match and retain the RCCW Southern Heavyweight Championship. You know, I gotta say, so far these matches have been really, really good. I enjoyed them, you know, sitting there and watching them firsthand. But, yeah. So after the match, Locke goes after the official, hits him the backstabber, and then a familiar music hits. And you know who returns? A familiar friend of the show, JL. He returns to Rocket City after not competing there since, I believe, December? Maybe late November? I don't remember exactly the last time he competed. But JL comes out, doesn't attack him, doesn't say a word. And at the next show, he will be challenging Travis Locke. So, I enjoyed it. And that's really all there is to say about this match. Our final match of the night was a winner-take-all match for both the RCCW United States title and the RCCW World's Heavyweight title. It's Brax, the U.S. champ, taking on Tramer, the world champion. And keep in mind, Brax is accompanied to the ring by Dr. Trevor Franklin, so that's the third time we've seen him on this show. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, no, it's a great thing, but, well, let's just move on. So, I'm going to say this before we get started. I did not get all of the highlights I wanted to get. However, if Brax and Nick Tramer are listening right now, I just want to say you two put on a good contest. And, yeah, that's really all there is to say. So, with that in mind, let's take a look at what I was able to get down. So, early on here in the beginning of the match, Tramer hit not one, but two cutters. Granted, they were at different points. Tramer went for the cover both times. Brax did kick out. Then Brax hits a bone-jarring suplex, goes for the cover, but Tramer does kick out of that. Then after that, Brax hits a scoop slam onto Tramer, and that looked pretty deadly, in my opinion, but that's just me, of course. Now, in the closing moments of this match, Dr. Trey Franklin got a chair for Brax to send Nick Tramer into, like, face first. But as he was doing it, Tramer got out of the way. Brax went face first into the chair. Tramer hit a cutter. 1, 2, 3. Winner of the match. And new RCCW United States Champion and still RCCW World Heavyweight Champion, Mickey Two Belts. I really like that name, Mickey Two Belts. But nonetheless, Tramer won this match here. He is now the holder of two RCCW belts. But from what I saw in this match, I really liked it. And like I said, I didn't get all the highlights down as much as I wanted to due to an unforeseen event that even I couldn't predict. But nonetheless, I had fun at the show. Definitely going to try to make another one this summer. And, yeah, that's pretty much all there's left to say for the show this week. Make sure you follow us on social media, on Twitter, at Body Slam Radio, on Instagram, at The Body Slam Radio, and we are now on Facebook. Search The Body Slam Radio under the Pages filter, and you will find us there. So, that's pretty much all there is to say this week. So, again, for The Body Slam Radio, I'm Duncan Welker, and I'll see you guys next time.